Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, and we are very pleased and surprised to bring to the show tonight Robert Downey Jr. and, of course, Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, all to promote a very worthy cause. It's a benefit, a three-day benefit for the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic, which is going on this coming weekend.
13th, 14th, 15th. Unbelievable.
Look at Thursday, this Friday, Saturday. Yeah, you got to wonder if they have this at the Idaho Free Clinic.
The Boise Free Clinic. Not.
Yeah, some local radio and like a plate spinner out there raising money. But this is a very worthy cause. I went last year one night. I didn't perform or do anything like that, but I did get some free booze and rub some elbows, and it's quite an event. And there was what? How much was raised last year, Drew? Do you got that?
Figures I have.
$500,000.
$500,000.
Yeah.
Right,
really?
In front of me,
yeah. Yeah. Really. And have you now Robert?
That's a lot of potatoes.
You haven't utilized the free clinic, have you, out here?
No, I was more East Coast at the time that I needed the free clinic desperately.
Adam strangely has gone to free clinics.
Yes.
We have not discussed this in quite some time. Is this the one you went to?
Well, I don't know. I went to the Nazi Lesbian Clinic in Santa Monica, but it may have been under the same umbrella.
No,
I'm not sure.
So. I don't think so.
Well, I had a little yeast on the peccaroo, as I like to say. One of the few guys I know was able to contract yeast on his penis.
And, he had a little yeasty on the peccaroo.
It was a humiliating experience, but it was free, and my penis is still with me. So
I have rocked the clinic, and I owe my penile health to that early visit to a clinic.
See?
But that was a different clinic also. That was a West Hollywood clinic. My high school years, something was going on.
Most adolescent adults now use Planned Parenthoods and free clinics as their health care. They really see it as something that's there to serve them, and indeed they are sort of more geared up to handle young people than the average doctor's office is, where things are very sort of threatening, and it's where their parents might find out about it.
Gear up the clinics, because, if
they're
you
good.
Think about it, we live in a pretty rich country, and not everyone has the access to getting the health care that, according to Dana Hollister, is a right for all humans who live in this country. So,
well, and even speaking of money, it probably saves you money as a society to get people taken care of early on at a lesser price than it would be down the road to take care of more advanced things.
That's
preventative
thinking.
It's good bang for your buck, isn't it?
You would think so, but you can function like an HMO and just make sure people kind of pass along.
Oh, listen, I don't want to cure anybody. I just want to get them in and out. Just patch them up.
Stabilize and release.
That's right. That's right. Send them on the road again.
But the lineup, the lineup is now public knowledge?
The lineup for this show?
Yeah.
No one has any idea what the lineup is.
All right. Well,
no,
Drew?
I'm kidding. It's going to be some plate spinners.
And a local radio personality from Boise, Idaho. Okay.
Got right. Mike Baker, the deal maker from the Idaho Pontiac Dodge, is going to be out there giving away bumper stickers and windbreakers. No, Elton John and Sting on Thursday night.
The Chili Peppers.
And Jaguares, who've been on this show, and Amy Mann, who's been on this show on Friday night. And then Saturday night, Third Eye Blind and Jaguares again.
And from what I understand, Sting is going to be doing personalized condom fittings.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
and after the performance.
These cause a prolonged erection.
8-hour tantric condom fitting.
Now,
and by the way, would a condom last? I mean, how many condoms do you think Sting would have to go through in an 8-hour sex session?
You know, we've never actually addressed that in condom education. If you go more than X period of time, put on a new one. I mean, tires only go 20,000 miles, right?
The idea
right.
is to get a metaphysical condom happening.
There you go.
Where it's not actually material of this
virtual,
world.
Virtual
but
condom.
But
a glow platform for this kind of discussion. I think many people have the reservoir of energy to go through several dozen condoms, with or without chlamydia.
Right, but do they have the endurance? I mean, can they hold off from the ejaculation? That's the thing. I mean,
that's
physically,
that's what he's saying.
Really? Well, I mean, I could move my ass for 5 hours, but I couldn't hold
I've
my nuts for more than five minutes.
Okay. Talking about dancing or what?
Yeah.
How do people buy tickets?
Robert, tell everyone how they can buy tickets.
Well, presently, our website, www.silverline.com. liningsilverlake.com. As a matter of fact, they got so many hits today that it kind of blitzed, even though it supposedly has a can handle a bunch. But that's the way to get through it, unless someone tells me that there's
what
something else that's supposed to happen. www.silverlake.com.
No spaces.
And how much are the tickets? Are they asking for donations, or how does that work? Because I imagine $30 wouldn't be enough for the talent.
It's a fat and foreboding price tag, but I think the idea is to dig deep and get your corporate love on and maybe get some tax write-offs or whatever. Tickets ranging, that's like $100, $200, $300, $400. You can buy a table, you can get seats, you can, like you said, you can rub elbows.
Right. Well, I was there last year, and it's an intimate environment. I mean, it's not like you're going to see Sting and Elton John at the Pond. I mean, it's a very intimate environment, so you're paying to get up close and to be comfortable and have a nice seat with some high rollers.
Are you guys going to be there all three nights, or are we just all going to be on the same night here?
I'll be there all three.
Three nights.
And I'm going to be there as often as I can. I'm also recording a record right now, so...
Yeah, and Drew and I are going to be doing some hosting duties on Friday night when we're there.
That's my night.
Quid pro quo.
We're glad to be there.
And to share the stage.
Yeah, and really, I got to be honest, I'm really glad you guys came on the show, and I'm surprised because somebody called me and said I should do this, and I said, who's going to be there? And then I said, they should do the show, and I thought it would never, ever happen. But you're men of your words, and we appreciate you being here.
Cool.
All right, you want to take some calls?
Let's go.
All right.
I'm excited about the calls.
Yeah, he kept saying, calls. I want to talk.
I'd like to communicate. Is this really coast to coast?
Coast to coast, right now. Angel's 18. She's in Texas. Angel.
Yeah, I have, two questions. One of them is, my boyfriend, he has always been wanting me to get with another girl, and he knows that I've been bi. And, the other night, he was wanting to videotape it, either that or see a videotape.
Wow. See, this guy keeps pushing. He should start with just a threesome and then break the camera out in the middle of that. But this guy's laying it all on the table.
Yeah, well, a couple of nights ago, me and my girlfriend, he knows about her. We videotaped it, and then I told him about it. That's the next morning, because I'd called him from her house, and he got all mad and everything. And she just turned around and told him, said, man, this is what she said you wanted, so we got it. And he still got upset about it.
Maybe because he wasn't there.
Well, see, he said he wanted to be there, too.
Yeah.
This is so characteristic of what happens when you bring other people in. Your relationship suffers. You never know how the other person's going to react.
It is tricky.
See, I have a boyfriend and a girlfriend.
I understand. It doesn't really work to do that. It's nice on paper, but in reality, this is the kind of stuff that happens. People's feelings get hurt. And the other reality is, the way humans are set up, you never get to actually experience real connection, real intimacy, if you're distracted a ton of other places.
Well, does he want to see the tape? I mean,
yeah,
I think you could make it right. Oh, he did.
He saw the tape.
Still upset.
He kept the tape.
That made it right, huh?
He kept
the tape at him. He got mad, but he kept the tape.
He was so distraught, he only beat off eight times.
Oh, he sat and watched the tape, and we all went up to his
Were you allowed to sit with him?
Huh?
Were you allowed to sit with him when he was watching the tape?
Both of us.
Oh, that's not bad.
Specifically, what is on the tape?
Well, basically everything. We went from just kissing and feeling and touching and licking and everything else.
Maybe we should introduce these guys to gambling right now.
Drew, don't cut her off in the middle of licking.
No.
It goes through the You're kissing lesbian. And the touching, and then you jump in and put the kibosh on the
think?
Whole thing.
Well, we also used all sorts of stuff. I mean, we got real kinky with it.
Mm. Angel's 18.
All right. Well, first off, you know my theory about naming your kids Angel.
Yeah. So not to mention being trouble. Raised in Texas.
Right. Yeah, you got two strikes against you. All right,
or for you, I'm not sure.
He saw the tape, and he was angered by it.
No, he liked the tape.
Right, but does he think you're cheating on him?
No.
So why is he angry?
Because he didn't actually get to sit down and watch us do it.
Which is kind of what he wanted to do. I think he was pretty specific.
Right.
Well, get two chicks in the same bed. Do them.
So are you planning on doing a second session with him?
We did.
You did a second session with him?
Right after the tape.
And then how'd that go?
Let's go to the tape.
Right.
He wanted it again, and we ended up pulling an all-nighter.
So what is the specific dilemma? Is your boyfriend somehow feels dissed because you're also loving this girl at the same time?
I have a bigger question. Why'd you call?
Well, he's pissed because he wanted to add a fourth.
Why'd you call, Angel?
Why did I call? Because I've also got another boyfriend on this side.
There you go.
All right. I'm ready to gamble.
Yeah, I am too. You ready?
Yeah. <All right. laughs> You guys got any money? Hold on a second.
I didn't bring money with me. It's out in the car. We go to the car?
No, Drew. I don't want you to go to the car. All right, here's how gambling works on this show. We haven't done it in a while. We usually don't do it this far into a call, but she's around. We know something's up with Angel. Something in her past created her present, and we try to shine a light on that by doing some gambling only on her past. Now, we know the situation she's in today, and you can dip back as, you know, alcoholic dad or sexually abused, or sometimes you can play the everything's fine card and make your money that way, but let's just say a buck all the way around. Now, you want me to start to set the table here?
Someone's going to have to spot me. My money's in the trunk.
All right, I'm going.
I got your back.
I'm going with the old-fashioned sexual abuse stepdad.
All right.
All right. All right. Anthony?
Go ahead, doctor.
chaotic family system, like... Somebody's badly addicted in the family, and she got sexually abused by like a neighbor.
Neighbor? Of all that,
yeah.
Okay, so you're saying a drug abuse? What drug?
I don't know.
All right, well, you got to be more specific. Alcohol.
Opiates.
Of course there's alcohol there.
Opiates.
All right. Robert?
Relatively normal system in the nuclear family. A little bit of stripping.
But stripping when she was eight, or this is mom stripping?
Mid-teens.
Mid-teen stripping. Interesting. Never going to make a pen.
I'm going to go with the standard got kidnapped and forced to watch Russ Meyer films at the age of eight.
You could go with some sexual addiction comes from having been exposed to excessive sort of pornographic material at like
I'm
age
gonna say
five
she got
to eight.
Overexposed at a young age.
Good.
That's a good bet.
Okay, so she saw Valley Beneath the Ultra Vixens one too many times. At a tender age. Angel?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about the past.
At 15, I was sexually abused, but it wasn't by a neighbor.
Who did this?
Huh?
Who?
It was a very close friend of my mother's.
Ooh.
At 15?
At 15, he was 35.
Yeah, but we want to go before that even.
I think something happened around 8 to 10. Huh?
Where's your dad?
My dad, he's living with us, me and my mother. My brother.
So you guys are, everyone's married?
Yeah.
Hmm. And your dad, what's he do, drive a truck?
No, he's basically a street inspector.
All right.
So then in there lies the normalcy that Robert referred to.
All right. But was he an alcoholic? He abused any drugs?
No.
Ha.
Hmm. I just want to say real quickly, I can say to Angel that just about everyone I've ever met has been sexually abused, so don't feel weird or
it's a common
or
problem.
Different or like, you know, messed up because of that. Everyone that I know has been somehow sexually abused, and I think the thing to do is just talk about it and realize it's not the shame that you want to.
That shame, shame becomes sort of an organizing property of the personality when there's been sexual abuse. And really what the abuse does is just sort of reorganize. People talk about reorganizing one's love map or arousal maps, where it sort of solders in a circuitry of arousal that's not normal, and it bypasses intimacy, and everything that you would normally want from a relationship gets sort of focused on sexuality, and they can't stand the abandonment of real intimacy, so they get five relationships going all at once and all very arousing and crazy.
Who was the guy who did this?
It was my mother's best friend husband.
I see. And did you ever tell anybody? Did anybody find out?
I told my mother the first time it happened, and she didn't believe me.
Oh, see.
What happened more than once?
Yeah, it happened for a continuous time.
Oh, no.
There's got to be something else here.
What's up with
your mom that she's so whacked out that she wouldn't understand this believe this, or that she would hang out with this guy?
Well, she wasn't really hanging out with him. She was hanging out with...
But she would let her children be around this a-hole.
Well... What happened was that I had gotten kicked out of the house, and they didn't want to put me in an orphanage, so they had them take over guardianship.
Why'd they kick you out of the house?
Well, my mother had previously gone under a triple bypass surgery.
And how old was she?
And she was 30 when it was done.
And she wasn't doing drugs or alcohol?
Uh-uh.
Triple bypass at 30?
She was 35.
Does she work at IHOP or something?
No, that's still bizarre. I mean,
I don't know. So far, I'm getting the money, though, because I had the molestation by the stepdad, but it was a friend of the...
Did she smoke four packs a day? How does she get bypassed at 35?
Well, it was a family...
Hereditary?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you being monitored for that?
Yeah, they've been keeping a very close eye on me, and they said that I'm the healthy one out of the whole family.
Well, didn't they tell you no threesomes, though? I mean, my doctor told me that. I had a little arrhythmia, Drew, as they call it. No threesomes.
Well, see, what I was weirded out, but what my friends are really weirded about is that my boyfriend, my second boyfriend, he's married, and it's kind of like what I want to be is like, be married but still have somebody on the side.
Yeah, that's because you can't tolerate a real relationship, Angel. You were so badly abandoned and being sort of sent out to foster care. There's a lot more here than you're sort of telling us. It's not sort of a routine family system that kicks out a child at 14.
Well, particularly not when something's going on that's supposed to bring a family closer together.
Absolutely.
Like a mom having a triple bypass. And also, when you're talking about the one fellow who was upset, and respectably because he had wanted to be on site for this occurrence. So
it was
a communication problem.
That's
too.
Right.
I mean, do you get something from all three of these goings-on that you can't get just from one?
Well, the married guy, he's always there when I need to talk to somebody. I mean, he's very quiet to everybody else. He keeps what I tell him to himself. And
well, he has to. His wife's going to kick his ass otherwise. Hey, Angel, listen. There's a ton of chaos here. I mean, it's just a ton. And you're really heading down a bad road. You're going to get pregnant. You're going to get something, some disease.
It's safe sex, too. So.
Okay, but well, when there's like eight penises flying around the room, it's hard to keep track of them all.
What's
right, Drew?
Yeah, listen, there's nothing safe about eight penises, okay?
Right.
But also, you may have post-traumatic stress disorder. You may be trying to manage feelings and affect you're not even aware of right now. This really needs... some quiet time.
Get some therapy for the rape perpetrated by mom's friend's husband.
How about that?
And you just can just start there. Yeah. Just stop. Just stop for like 6 months. Just don't do anything. Just go to the bathroom through your pants. Don't even take your pants off.
Chilling.
Not even for number two.
I like the advice. Get some help for the rape. Chill. Don't try to find love in all the wrong places.
There you go. You guys can pick these calls if you want.
Right.
Robert's is enjoying the computer screen.
I had no idea that with all these.
God bless.
Mike, yeah, take care, darling.
Mike is up. He's 28. Mike?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey.
Hey, Mike. Brother.
Mike, what's up? What's up, Mike?
Okay, I'm 28, and for the last 10 months, I've been dating a 40-year-old. Mm-hmm. Or I guess you could say dating. We're more or less like screw buddies.
All right. As far as you're concerned. How about as far as she's concerned?
As far as she's concerned... she is not ready for a relationship.
Okay, and by the way, I was going to say, a 40-year-old woman pulls that off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, she got out of a long-term relationship.
Right.
She's not.
Okay, well,
just wait till she retires.
That's the way it works. She's out of a long marriage that went bad or something.
Does she also refer to you as a screw buddy?
Yeah.
Okay, just check.
Yeah.
Communication. Robert mentioned that.
I wasn't familiar with their term, but I'm going to add that to my arsenal. Screw buddy, okay.
Friends with benefits.
All right, so what's the question, Mike?
Well, when she was in her early 20s, she was in a marriage that ended up being physically abusive. And
didn't we just say this? That we could predict that was her history?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Then she refused to get tied down for a long time.
Right.
About 10 years ago, she got married and ended up having a son from the marriage. 2 years ago, her son's 7 now.
Mm.
2 years ago, they got divorced. They went through 9 months of counseling. He was not physically or mentally abusive, but I think,
You know what's interesting? Was she to him?
Not that I know of, no.
Sometimes the abuser becomes the abusee, or vice versa.
Yeah.
All right, but what's the question, Mike?
We were talking the other night, and she's used to sleeping in bed by herself, and I am too, but when I am in bed with her, I sleep like a baby because I'm so comfortable and content because that's what I want.
Right. I mean, he's had sex.
It's not that comfortable because she has more or less conditioned herself to being alone. 10 years ago, her mother, for some reason, like freaked out and disowned the whole family. I don't know if it was drugs or alcohol or anything like that, and I'm kind of afraid to open that can of worms with her. But I think all the bad things that have happened to her are making her scared of a relationship.
Yes, agreed.
And should, you know, I want to confront her with it, but I don't want to...
Why? Why confront your screw buddy?
Yeah, you said she was a screw buddy.
You shouldn't even be talking to your screw buddy.
You mean you developed feeling for her?
I have a ton of feelings for her.
All right, so it's no longer a screw buddy thing. It's
you
a relationship.
Like a baby with this girl.
It's a relationship that's developing with someone that's not open or available for a relationship, right?
Exactly.
Well,
I mean, in my heart, I mean, we have never said we are committed to each other, but at the act like we're committed.
But as usual with these friends with benefit relationships, somebody gets feelings. Somebody gets them, and then you're sort of violating the basic boundaries that you guys set up, established for yourselves in this relationship to begin with.
Are you getting close to the kid?
A little bit, yeah. Ugh. I mean, how the kid even looks like me, that's what's scary.
Well, it's just because he's missing teeth.
Oh,
no. Well, I'm playing a hunch. That's all.
I live in his flat.
All right, he'll get his big teeth in soon. Hey, Mike, my honest opinion is you got a handful here, and she's 40, and she may never be right.
Well,
and I don't know if you want to stick with this and change her because she's going to take some work.
She's
going to
take some work. That's right. And there's a reason you're going for somebody that's not available, and that's going to need some working on. But women in their 40s, sometimes characterologic problems get better in the fourth and fifth decades.
Well, they're just waiting to die.
Well,
they don't care anymore.
Whatever the reason. And she has been someone who's gone to treatment before. She had 9 months of treatment with her ex-husband.
All right.
Maybe she's willing to get some work done.
Mike, why don't you just, you know, give her the bum rush of love? Why don't you just tell her you have feelings for her and put your arms around her and see what she does?
My suspicion is, Mike, you need a little Al-Anon work, my suspicion is. Just the way you talk about your relationship and the kind of, just the sense I get from you that if you had that support of a recovery program, you might be able to deal with this more effectively, or at least help her institute change.
I couldn't agree more with all that advice. But to me, it's a beautiful picture.
I love the screw buddy part.
The screw buddy, the falling asleep in her arms, feeling it, you know, cozy and content.
Kid looks like you.
But as far as that, like, bum rushing her with love kind of thing,
yeah.
I don't know how, she already knows that.
That turned her off, too.
Oh, yeah.
But, well, yes. If I do it too much, it'll push her away. But what is funny is last night, her and I are members of a club in this town.
Sure.
It's not a sex club or nothing like that. It's just a plain, you know, like bar club.
Right.
And
strip bingo.
Like a social butterfly talking to all her buddies, and I'm going around talking to all my friends. And this girl wanted to bum a cigarette off me, so I give her a cigarette. Well, next thing you know, we start talking, and then she... Anyway, she saw me talking to this other girl.
And she freaked.
Okay.
Let me wait. Was she drinking at the time?
Yes, I know
Mike,
she was drinking.
Mike, really? Mike,
I told you, handful.
Alcoholism.
No, she's not an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a prerequisite for being an alcoholic, because your screw buddy says you're not.
I am a recovering.
No, I drink alcohol.
So you're a recovering alcoholic.
So, I have recovered from 4 years ago.
That's good. You're recovering. And that also, I could bet 50% probability you had a parent who's an alcoholic, right? And so,
no, but neither one of my parents were alcoholics, but that is in the family history.
All right. The point being,
there's likely to be some issues that are pertinent to Al-Anon. You're recovering from alcoholism, great, but now you've got an Al-Anon recovery you got to put your mind to, all right?
Mike, you tell her, honey, just listen to me. You tell her, look, you're 40, you got a 7-year-old with no daddy, and you drive a 87 Voyager with Bondo all over the passenger side door. Where are you going? You're not doing any better than this. I'm 28, and I got potential. So that's it. Tell her to crap or get off the pot. I don't know why he's pushing so hard for this. This just sounds like a huge project. He should just, like, rebuild the Hindenburg out of toilet paper or something.
If weren't this one, it'll be another one.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Good luck, Mike.
We'll take a little break. Robert Downey Jr. is here. Also, Anthony Kiedis. And we'll be back to give you all the particulars from the... Drew, you want to just point at the paper?
So you bring it on the way out. Remember, it's the
www. Well, what's this goddamn thing in front of your mouth?
If I so much as speak when you're in the middle of a roll to an end, you flip out.
I know, but I don't
couldn't
anything.
You tell when I was pinning to a break? Couldn't you tell? I was going to tell a joke. Can't
well,
you smell a joke?
Then don't point.
www.silverliningsilverlake.com. It's right. The second annual Silver Lining Silver Lake Benefit for the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic.
Thank you.
You guys need some counseling.
Right
I just want to
oh,
point
yeah.
that out.
No kidding.
We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Love Line will be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is Orion.
And this is Steven. We're members of Third Eye Blind. You're listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Love Line.
Yes, you are. Third Eye Blind, just one of the bands you're going to see this weekend. That is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. At the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic Benefit. And Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Kiedis are both here tonight.
Robert they wanted to say something.
Yes.
But you were talking so much you couldn't get
well,
a word in.
Well, Drew, yeah? Hold on a second. You.
Oh, now I talk, well, now it's not good.
I'm plugging the thing.
All right,
I'm
go.
Plugging the all thing. Right,
go.
What?
Go.
Well, I was going to commercial before and you were pointing at the thing frantically. Now I'm giving the
see,
website out and you got to jump in. Which is it? What do you want me to do?
That's exactly what I want to ask you. Is you told me to jump in, now I jumped in. Which is it?
Oh, you're such an idiot. I'm going to play the tape of this show, you jackass.
Please.
Please. I can't get me through the thing.
Go
just
ahead.
Now, forget it. Robert, go ahead. We'll never give the website out. Go ahead.
I was just observing this interaction with...
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
30 years from now, you guys are going to be gray and bearded.
I'm already gray.
And you're going to be arguing back and forth.
Want to gamble on it?
Well, let me explain the problem.
Walkers and canes, you guys are going to be hitting each other.
We don't have A-list type celebrities on the show. We got the kids from some WB show you never heard of that's already off the air by the time they get on the air, and Drew could care less, and he leans back and looks at his pager the entire night. But tonight, he's up in his chair, he's excited, we have celebrities in here.
Three nights of sleep. We didn't work late last night.
Yes, yeah. And so I can't get my cadence right because I'm used to him just not talking.
Okay.
He usually broods.
That's why I pointed, like I usually don't talk, and he got mad at that.
I think you compliment each other.
Not verbally.
Not in the last 2 minutes.
Right. Thank you. All right.
Ho!
Let's take some calls. Laura?
Hi.
You're 17. What's up?
Hey, I listen to the show every night. You guys kick ass.
Thanks.
Adam, funny as hell.
Great. Thanks.
And Anthony, I love you. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are my favorite band. You rock my world.
Thank you, Laura.
All right. I have a question for Anthony, and then I have a question for Adam.
All right.
All right. I want to know, how did the tube sock antics originate?
My version is different than Flea's version, but I can only give you my version. I was 17 years old. I had left my house. I was living with a roommate. A lady friend of his had a crush on me. I was previously engaged with my high school sweetheart. This girl kept sending me very sexually oriented cards and messages, and basically she just wanted to get down, and I wasn't having it because I was in love. And my friend said, she's coming over. She's coming over to the apartment. You know, she wants to see you. And I ran into the bedroom, and I got naked, and I put a sock on my dick and came out to greet her, you know, hoping that would sort of scare her away forever. And it just made her fall more deeply in love with me. And she continued to send messages and cards. And
is she Angel from Texas?
Okay.
And then one day when it came time to perform live on stage in concert with my brethren, it just seemed like the thing to do.
You were so accustomed to it by that point.
It just, you know, they say that when you get into show business, you reach back and pull out every little trick from your childhood and you end up turning it into some kind of shtick or can you attest to that?
But I just like that you tell her how to, she goes, that's so sweet.
I could have said, you know, anything.
I think it's sexy.
That's quaint.
Clearly.
Yeah.
A tube
but
sock.
Hey, when you're on stage jumping around, how do you keep the sock on? I mean, I know there's a certain amount of elastic holding it there, but is there any preventative stuff, double stick tape or something?
No, but if you think it's all in the balls.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you just put that over your dick, I mean, not everybody in town is going to keep that thing, but if you wrap it nicely around the whole scrotum, the nutsack in its entirety, the package is sufficient.
Adam tries to push his tube sock garter.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which also...
is that an invention you made?
Yeah, it goes also for condoms.
Yeah, it's just a little alligator clip or roach clip and then a piece of elastic that goes around your back and clips to the other side and keeps it on. You could do it in a flesh color. No one would see it. True, this is
good
not my invention. It's only for condoms. But I agree. Listen, I could stuff my balls into a trash can and hold it up. But the penis would not hold up one of those... One of those finger condoms.
Don't you have a question for Adam?
Oh, yeah. Laura?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Adam, could you please tell the story about the time that you got trapped in your friend's house while she was sunbathing naked?
Oh, no, no. We got big celebrities here.
Maybe tomorrow I'll remind him.
Yeah,
that's a good story.
To hear the story.
He'll tell it at the commercial.
Yeah, I'll tell him during the commercial.
How about the time that you stuffed your nuts into a trash can and held it up?
Just told that one.
That was good, yeah. All right. Hey, Laura?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye, Laura.
I'll tell that story tomorrow. We'll talk to Debbie, who's 32. Debbie?
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, a lot.
You got a question?
I have a lot of questions.
Now, just listen to that voice.
Is this the phone sex operator?
Just what evokes in you.
You got a question for us tonight?
Yeah, I am a phone sex operator. I had a client that was calling me a lot. Mm-hmm. And I left my boyfriend like 3 weeks ago, and I'm kind of in a financial bind. Mm-hmm. And he offered to have sex with me for $100, and I told him I would have to meet him. And I met him tonight, and I told him that I would do a hand job for $50, and I did.
Right.
And I have a really, I don't know, I'm kind of feeling kind of sick to my stomach after doing it because I've never done anything like that before. And I have a boyfriend who's in the military not really a boyfriend. I left him, but he's in Louisiana right now. And I'm not really sure what's going to happen when he gets back the 22nd.
Well, you left him, so why would anything come back?
I'm in love with him. I mean,
why'd you leave him then?
He beat me up like 3 weeks ago.
Well, what's not to love about that?
I don't know. I'm used to it, though. I've never been with a guy that hasn't laid his hands on me, so I guess.
Okay, there, just for reference, future reference, there are guys out there that won't.
Well, I know that, but I haven't found them.
Certain people get addicted to the kind of rush of their boyfriends beating them up.
I'm not. You can conceptualize addiction. It really is a sort of a compulsion. That's what they're attracted to, and that's who they are as a person. That's attracted to that kind of person, and that's just what love is to them. Is that
like the bad boy type attraction, I think.
And it really ultimately is trying to resolve the problems of having been abused by dad when he was growing up.
My dad never really hit me, but he was verbally abusive. I was always really, the kind of child that whose father would holler and I'd be like in the corner, you know, covering my head. I mean, he would never physically lay his hands on me, but...
Ever?
No.
Did he kick you?
No.
I was just playing a hunch. Did the guy tip you who you gave the hand job to?
What do you mean, tip me? He gave me $50 for a hand job.
No tip?
That means no.
Jesus.
Do you tip prostitutes?
I would say at least 15% on a hand job.
Okay.
20,
and you know,
20
there's,
on a pizza,
there's some guy on like a military base in Gary, Indiana somewhere now saying that his girl, who's a phone sex operator, was, until they broke up, just juggled some guy's dice for $50.
Right.
Actually, I'm in Washington State, so...
Oh, okay.
But I think he's in Louisiana or something.
Louisiana,
oh, he's based in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Hey, Debbie, I got a whole bunch of... First off, man, what's going wrong here, baby? I mean, what's up?
I don't know. I've been getting... since I've been doing the phone sex, I've been doing it for 9 months, and it seems like I've been getting more freakier in bed as...
But you're 32 years old. You haven't worked past some of this stuff yet?
Well, I went through a really bad divorce. I was married for 8 years, and I went through a bad divorce. It was a 2.5-year divorce, and I married money. I wasn't really in love with him. And
you married money? What you just did a handy for $50? What kind of divorce?
What kind of
alimony are you getting?
Nothing. I lost everything. To be honest with you,
But look, if you're going to marry a guy for money, at least bilk him.
No tip in the settlement.
I mean, didn't he have to leave you the house or the ranchero or whatever he was driving?
No, I left with the clothes on my back pretty much.
But this attraction to abusive men, okay?
I know it's bad. And then I have a BDU fetish on top of everything else, so I'm attracted to the military.
Bondage, domination.
BDE or BD?
BDU, battle dress uniform fetish.
Oh, they got one of those.
Battle dress?
It's like camouflage uniform. It kind of turns me on.
So you like getting decked out in Desert Storm gear?
No, I like guys who wear Desert Storm gear.
Well, I was picturing you in the gear, but...
Oh, right. Okay. I'd look good in it.
Was your dad in the military?
My dad. I've never met my dad.
Didn't you say your dad was verbally abusive to you?
Oh,
he did it over the
adopted father.
What's that?
My adopted father.
Well, what happened to your biological father?
Actually, my mother slept with my aunt's boyfriend and got pregnant with me.
Did you ever meet this guy?
I've never met my father.
Ever?
Never.
Okay, so when did you run into corporal punishment along the way? I mean, who was the guy in the uniform that got you going with this?
I don't know.
Was your mom abusive, too?
No, actually, my dad was an alcoholic, and so my mom was kind of like the person that would go around, you know, trying to make everything fine at home and keep peace in the family. And
okay. Mm. Hey, so, Debbie?
Yeah?
How poor can you be that you don't have money? I mean, you got to charge $50 for a hand job.
I'm very poor right now.
Do you have any kids?
They're with my ex.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I'm paying him child support and the whole nine yards.
Here, this 20 is going to be a little sticky, but don't spend them on food. Jesus Christ, this is a disaster. Do you ever just stand back and take a look?
Oh, actually, I think about, you know, killing myself all the time.
Well, no, I don't mean stand back and kill yourself.
I'm serious. My life is totally messed up right now.
All right, well, just stop it. You're 32. You have your health. You sound intelligent.
I'm not stupid. I know that.
No, this is not about being smart or not smart, but you do need to. Let's just focus on one thing. How about learning to read your attractions and to realize that the things that you call attraction is sort of unfinished sickness from your past, and then maybe things that are super attractive to you should be avoided. Just the way like a sex addict would avoid the web as an arousal mechanism that they get going with, and it really send them down a bad path. This is a bad thing for you when you get involved in this kind of attraction. How about going around with guys that are not quite so attractive to you? And if it's boring and if it feels uncomfortable, kind of stay in with it and see where you can go. See what kind of feelings come up and see if you can tolerate a real relationship.
Find a real nerdy guy in civvies.
Yeah, I mean, where you're bored is probably where the change can happen. And I also, it just seems like rather than hold on to, or you're calling and saying you're feeling guilty about what just happened with this guy and the $50, I mean, you know, that last 45 seconds, if you're still feeling bad, is probably old stuff, honey. You know?
Right. All right. Hey, Debbie?
Huh?
I rarely say this, but can you find Jesus Christ? I think he's in prison, because that's where he seems to be found the most. But
yeah,
Robert, did you see Jesus when you were behind bars?
Actually, I'm not. Daily. I don't think that.
Well, he was never in a solitary. I'd be
in
solitary.
Like, find, like, Buddha or Allah or who the Jews got going. Moses. Somebody, just find something, find some spirituality and just knock it off and get in some therapy and just pull yourself up and every other cliche I can throw at you. You're not stupid. You're young. Just go ahead and start having a good life.
But here's the thing. You got to get it. Whatever that it is, that desire, that willingness to make change, go ahead and get it.
Right.
And if you don't do it, this pattern, this slope you're on ain't going to change. Yeah. So it's up to you.
I don't know if I would even call this a slope. I think this is just a
free fall.
Yeah. This is a cliff she is sliding down. All right, Robert Downey Jr. is here. Also, Anthony Kiedis. They are here to benefit the what, Drew?
That's Robert and I clapping, by the way, in case you want
to. The Silver Lake benefit for the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic. Its information is at www.silverliningsilverlake.com. Tons of amazing performers in three nights this week. Elton John, Sting, Peppers, Aguarius, Amy Mann, and we'll be there. Third Eye Blind.
That's right. So we'll take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Robert Downey Jr. is our guest tonight, as well as Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Anthony will be in here momentarily. We're here to talk about a benefit on, it's going to take place Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this weekend for the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic. And all the information you're going to need is at www.silverliningsilverlake.com. And Robert had some stuff he wanted to mention as far as other people that were going to be there.
Yeah, well, the first night we got Elton John and Sting. Night two is the Chili Peppers. Also, Amy Mann, Deborah Falconer. Third night, Third Eye Blind. Jaguares, Daniel Lanois. Christina Ricci is going to be hosting with me the first night. Benicio Del Toro will be there. On night three, Johnny Knoxville. Night two, Rosalind Sanchez, Phantom Planet, Jay Hernandez, Lucy Liu. And, of course, Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla as well. That'll be night 2. And also, the tickets are also available through Ticketmaster. Thank you.
And, Drew, have you been up to this big, beautiful estate that this is going to be held at the first two nights?
I have no idea.
Just an amazing mansion up on the hill. I think it used to be some kind of nunnery or something up there.
Nunnery.
Yeah. And before that, it was I think, some Silent Stars home. It's funny how they always have to kind of, you know, they kind of have to clear the air and get a bunch of nuns in there for a bunch of years.
Right. That's right.
Is this thing working?
Hey, is this thing on?
I just came in with the Flash News Bulletin.
Yes.
Ticketmaster.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling tickets for this very concert.
That board repeating, Ticketmaster.
And all the money is going to a very, very worthy cause. So,
are these deductible tickets? I mean, people buy them.
Tax deductible?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a benefit. All right. Let's
motivate people to get them.
Let's talk to Jenna, who's 25.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
It is a pleasure talking to you tonight. It's nice to talk to all four of you great guys. I just wanted to say, my husband loves Loveline. I never heard of it before college, before him. And I'm a big fan of Robert Downey Jr.'s. And I think very highly of Adam and Dr. Drew.
And, now, with that said, how about Anthony?
Yeah,
what about
chopped liver?
I'll start with Robert Downey. Robert, are you ever, ever going back to Ally McBeal?
I'm not certain.
Can you divulge that?
Will you buy some tickets?
I'll buy tickets to anything.
Okay.
You'll go back?
Oh, God.
That's so nice of you.
I'm gonna say yes, and I'm gonna say Ticketmaster SilverliningSilverLake.com. Okay. www.
Hey, Jenna.
Fair enough.
You buy one general admission ticket, and Robert will go tonight after Loveline and shoot 4 or 5 new episodes. All right.
Hey, you got a deal.
All right.
That was too easy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that it, Jenna?
No, I wanted to ask Dr. Drew, I mean, just for fun, since I got through, I would never think to call in. I love Robert Downey Jr. He's one of my favorites.
That guy is hot.
I needed that. After that last call where my name wasn't mentioned when they were talking to Anthony.
Well, my husband's the greatest in the world, but okay. Robert Downey, you're on the list. Dr. Drew, I'm 25, and I am a fitness professional. And my husband is 27, and he is a tennis professional.
Tennis.
Team pro.
Tennis.
Huh?
Tennis?
Tennis, yes. Huh? Racket. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tennis racket. And right. I'm just blown away by our peers, some of the people that we know that are having babies.
Yeah.
And we just can't imagine. I mean, we even just bought our first house together.
So you're not ready to have kids yet?
No.
Good. I think
we're just like...
Jesus Christ. These fitness people are always such a pain in the ass. They
you
should
guys
do
just
it.
Hang up on her?
Yeah, no,
you
like,
guys
I put her on hold. They should do some push-ups with their brain every once in a while.
Listen,
Jenna, always a disaster.
Jenna, I think there ought to be a law that ought to release people to have children after the age of about 30. So you're fine. Just
so the gal
time.
You just
no
had
hurry.
To put on hold is the one that really has high regard for me.
Yeah,
she didn't blame that on you though. She'll blame me. On
okay,
that.
She sounds sweet.
No, but you know
smart
these workout
her
people.
They got in the tennis racket.
Oh, they got too much energy, way too much. Mike, you're 24.
Yep.
Oh, it sounds like he hung up. And
hello.
Oh, there he is.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I was like falling asleep. Yeah, I have like.
It's always a nice comment about the show, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Excuse me?
No. Robert wanted to know the answer to this question.
Okay, go ahead. Hurry up and ask that question, please.
I have, like, little purple, I'll explain, like, dark purple tips, like, on my penis.
Dark purple tips?
Like, they're they look purple, but they're, like, dark, like,
steady
dark.
Steady asparagus.
Like, right. Asparagus, there you go. And
I'm trying to picture it, Mike.
Okay, and they itch really bad, and I'm trying to figure out
They itch badly. They're on the shaft of the penis?
No, it's like, from, like, the middle up. And I'm on the computer, and I have not seen anything that looks like what's happening.
The middle to of the
what
shaft.
What side are you hitting?
What's that?
Middle of the shaft to the tip?
Yes.
Middle of the shaft to the tip. Is it circumferential? It's all the way around?
Not towards the bottom where the I'll explain it.
You know what? As always, if you want to send a digital picture, what Loveline address can we use so I can look at a picture of this?
What?
No, listen. This guy barely has a phone. He doesn't think he's got a scanner.
All right. Please. Well, no, it's just a digital camera. Just stick it
in. You think he's got a digital camera? I bet he doesn't have an Etch-a-Sketch.
Mike?
If you send a picture, I'll go back on Ally McBeal.
Would you really?
Not really.
Right, Mike, I can tell you where a free clinic is in Silver Lake.
That's right.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood San Diego is a huge
I hear they specialize in purple bumps.
Well, here's the deal. As always, when it comes to skin lesions, people cannot describe them in a way that makes sense to me or give me any idea what's going on here. Anything itchy on the penis goes from anything from psoriasis to allergy to herpes, to lichen planus. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can do that. You need to have someone look
at it. So go to Planned Parenthood over there. They have a new thing where you can drop your penis off at overnight deposit, just a slot in the slot right in the door, and then leave it with a self-addressed stamp envelope, and you should get it back in 3 working days.
Describing the bumps. Did you ever see that commercial where the lady's trying to describe the sound her car is making because it's not working right?
Right.
That's what it's like trying to describe the bumps. Right.
Virtually impossible, and then you sprinkle a little weed and some booze and 70 minutes on hold and a double-digit IQ, and now you got real difficulty painting a picture. All right, so, Mike, go down to Planned Parenthood. Take care of that penis. We got to take ourselves a break. Anthony Kiedis, Robert Downey Jr. here tonight, and we'll be back, give you all the particulars after this.
All right, guys, here's the deal. Dateline. You're looking to hook up, sick of wasting time with the wrong person?
Dateline.
One call is all you need to make. Call the Dateline. 877-889-DATE.
Call the Dateline.
Oh, yeah! Everybody now!
That Drew and myself are going to be a part of this weekend, actually technically starting on Thursday. It's for the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic. There's just tons of big names involved with this. The money all goes to the free clinic to give help to people who really, really need it. And Drew,
yeah.
I'm going to read this www.silverlakesilverlake.com. is what you'd log on to get all the information you need.
Or Ticketmaster?
No, or Ticketmaster.
Or Ticketmaster.
That's right.
So the 13th will be Elton John and Sting. The 14th, Chili Peppers, Jaguares, Amy Mann, Jurassic 5. And then the 15th, Jaguares again, Third Eye Blind, and more.
And
Becky, which is Beck actually in drag. For that particular
interesting.
No, I'm kidding. But Amy Mann, who's playing on Friday, December 14th with us... Us being Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, she's great.
I just have to throw that out there. Nice. I listen to that girl's records, and I get blown away.
She is an absolute bona fide talent. And
delightful person.
Who's her man? Michael Penn?
Mm-hmm. Her man is Michael Penn.
Yeah, he's not bad either. Those two should have some talented kids.
They might have tennis instructors for kids, though. You never know.
Let's hope not.
And on the 13th, playing with Elton John and Sting, Daniel Lanois, who's just so amazing, has done all this soundtrack for Sling Blade, and he's immensely respected guy. And Deborah Falconer is also something else. She's actually my ex-wife as well.
And, really?
Yeah.
Is that going to be all right for you?
It's going to be so good.
I just got a note up here on the computer. It says the website's going nuts right now and that they should start using Ticketmaster.
All right. Well, do it.
Ticketmaster probably has bigger, better computers for taking.
And this is a night to not only see a bunch of great acts up close, but rub elbows and do a little hobnobbing with the big celebrities.
Everyone and their mom is going to be there. Sam Slavik, who basically organized the event with the people at Silver. Right. Lining Silver Lake was saying, "Just it's nuts."
Yeah, and really in a beautiful environment. I was there last year, and it's absolutely amazing.
Let me just ask: if you go to Ticketmaster, do you look under Silver Lining Silver Lake? What's the sort of keywords?
Keywords.
Hollywood Free Clinic.
I would try them all.
Okay, Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic.
Yeah, well, they'll find it.
Silver Lining. I bet you Silver Lining would be there.
Josh.
Yeah.
Well, just dates in L.A. probably narrow it down. Josh, you're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm aware that when a girl loses her virginity, she experiences apparently overwhelming pain. So.
Not necessarily.
No.
No?
No. Adam, she didn't even know anything had happened.
No. Thanks to the little miracle known as roofies and Mickey's Big Mouth, she didn't wake up for days. Now, she said, are you in? So,
or was it, are you done?
Are you done? Are you done may have been it. But.
Why are you worried about the overwhelming pain?
Well, I was just wondering because I've heard that a lot, and I've heard average size for a penis is 6 inches.
Yeah.
I'm a little above that, and I was wondering what the correlation was. And
I am a big boy.
How little above are we talking here?
Like about 8 inches.
Ooh. Yeah, that could do a little harm. But again, it's not going to be significantly more painful than someone who's not a virgin. It could be uncomfortable for anyone. And in fact, we get many more calls here about
very uncomfortable to me personally, but
just thinking about it.
I'll tell you who's going to be uncomfortable with the next guy she gets with, who's 5 inches.
And it's like a baby's arm in a warm room.
Who's got to have that? Yeah, that's the guy who's going to be in pain. Hey, Josh, you just take it slow.
Exactly.
You're in love, and you don't do anything that is uncomfortable for anyone, and it'll all work out.
My understanding of the female vagina. Is that it,
as opposed to the male vagina?
As opposed to the hermaphrodite vagina.
I see. Right.
Is that it expands and contracts with unbelievable elasticity.
That's correct. And it springs right back.
And if you just take it slow and go gentle and move your thing real mellow and with love.
Right.
And make sure she comes. No, I'm kidding.
John?
Definitely kidding.
How old is she? What is she, 11? How old is she?
She's 16.
16.
And if she's right. Ready for this, too, make sure. If she's nervous and ambivalent about not clear that she should be engaging in this kind of activity, it can hurt no matter what. Whether you're 3 inches or 9 inches, it can be a very unpleasant and painful experience.
Is she into it?
Huh?
Is she into it?
Into what?
Losing her virginity to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess so. I mean, I was just asking, you know, in case.
Are you a virgin?
No.
Did you sleep with someone else who was a virgin at some point?
No,
have you
they
hurt
weren't.
Before?
Did you hurt the non-virgin?
Yeah, Thresher, yeah.
No.
Okay. All right.
You're going to be all right. Have fun.
Good times.
Hey, could you put me on hold so I can listen to the rest of the show?
Okay. No. Why, you're calling from Colorado?
You should be hearing it.
Yeah, it's on tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Don't be nervous.
You can do that for
me. We'll tie up a phone line for you, no problem.
All right, let's talk to...
Oh, you hung up. And you hung up on that one, too.
I didn't hang up on him. I just hit 5.
Oh, man.
True. I didn't hang up on anyone.
You went directly to 5 without putting him on hold.
All right.
I was looking at his hand when you were on the screen. I'm not, I don't know.
That 8-incher was the easiest problem to solve all night.
See, we're going to get some.
Yeah, we're going to blow some down.
Those other problems were difficult.
Charlie?
Yeah.
You're 31.
What's up, Adam? I just want to say you're the man.
Hey, good times, buddy.
Robert Downey Jr., my favorite movie you were in was Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Thanks, bro.
Oh, come on. How about Weird Science if you're going back that far?
I love that movie. Too, but I loved it when he jumped on the floor and started yelling, Doomy. Anyway, Adam, your recipe there for premature ejaculation was to squeeze one off 20 minutes beforehand.
Yeah. So,
me and my wife have tried that a couple times, both different ways, and I still got that problem. I don't know what to do. We've tried different things,
right?
And we don't know where to go from here.
This is John Candy from the grave, isn't it?
Yeah, what's up there? You smoke a lot of weed, Charlie?
No.
Oh, no, please.
I have a technique for him.
Go ahead.
Handle it.
Okay. Grab the tip of the...
So you've just been, you've been ejaculating prematurely, is that right?
Right.
How quick? Just for the record. How quick?
Like the Dice Man used to say, one stroke, done.
Okay.
That's too quick.
Breathing. It's all about breath. If you focus on your breath rather than how good it's feeling down there, just breathe in and out. Like very intentional breathing, like... Don't focus on your penis. Focus on the breath.
Hold on. I came when he did that. What's that mean?
Wait a minute. There's another thing, and this has really been having a profound effect on my staying power. Yoga, brother.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Get your kundalini on.
I can't picture Charlie in a lotus position. hey, Charlie.
Charlie, go Ashtanga.
Let me see if I can dangle a carrot in front of you. You get really good at that yoga, you can blow yourself.
Right, I used to be able to do that, but I packed on a few pounds now.
Oh, yeah, now your gut's in the way.
Ron Jeremy.
That's bad when you're...
Can I ask Anthony a question?
Your gut's in the way.
Do the yoga with the boiler. Don't even worry about it.
Me and my brothers want to know, because we really like blood sugar checked water. And me and my brothers want to know, is Anthony taking on the other side now or what?
That depends on your definition of the other side. It sounds like you've gone to a completely different place than I ever intended. But that's okay, because lyrics were meant to be interpreted as seen fit. Are you talking about some sort of a bisexual or gay reference there?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I was thinking when I wrote the song. You can interpret it like that if you want to.
No, I'm a big fan of your music, but it just seemed like it's kind of been going downhill lately.
You are an asshole.
All right. Hey, Charlie. And by the way, Anthony's being critiqued by a guy who stopped blowing himself because his gut's in the way.
Steady chuckles.
No, that's all right. I'm not against having a little sensitive criticism from Charlie. The other side is about something much deeper than, experimenting with male-on-male sex. Not what I'm into, but if you want to visualize that while you're listening to the song, you go ahead.
Caroline? Yes. Carolyn, yes. You're 17. What's up?
Yeah, I just have a question for Anthony.
Here he is.
Okay, hi, Anthony.
Hi. Am I going downhill in your eyes, too? Because
he's about to kill himself. That's true.
I was just wondering if the new album that you're making, are you going to kind of go for a new sound, or are you going to use that type of music that you used in Californication? Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we don't sit down and have a group discussion on which direction we're going in or what kind of sound we want to come up with. It just happens, and it's, to us, it always seems like a natural progression from whatever we did before that. The more time we spend together, the more time our chemistry gets bubbling in the lab, it just comes out. I don't even know what to call it. It sounds to me like the next phase from Californication. It doesn't sound like Californication, but it sounds like a continuation thereof. We're pretty happy with it. It sounds good to us.
When's it coming out, do you know?
We're still recording it. It comes out in the springtime of 2002.
Thanks, Carolyn.
I have another question.
Uh-oh.
Or not really a question. It's another thing I wanted to tell Anthony. I met you, I'd say on Wednesday, August 16th, 2000.
Give or take?
Right. Yeah. No, that's the exact date. It was Eastern in Toronto. You were staying in the Four Seasons Hotel, and so was I. And
town?
Toronto.
In Yorkville, Toronto, yeah. And you guys did a show or whatever, and one of your friends, hooked me up or something with the guest list, and I, followed you into the elevator at, 2 a.m. after your show.
Yep.
And, I really think I, scared you, because you...
You followed me all the way to my door.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, you did.
I was I'm not done talking to you or whatever, but I didn't follow you out of your elevator.
I'm not done talking to you at 2 in the morning?
That's a scary thing to tell someone, Carolyn.
See, right now, I hope my girlfriend's listening, because
right. Good evidence.
Now she sees exactly
how I behave.
I would have
gotten nervous and then felt immense relief at this story.
Just a $50 handy.
You can't buy those.
Hey, Carolyn.
It's money in the bank.
What do you got, a post-nasal drip going?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sick right now.
All right, well, take care of yourself. I'll be by for
Carolyn, just realize that this is something we're sort of trained to do, is to point out to people when they're actually engaged in stalking behaviors. It helps them sort of break through the denial about what they're doing. That's stalking. That is.
I have to close my door on her.
Yeah, it's a poor perception of boundaries, and they're always startled that you would perceive it that way. She can't imagine that. It's 2 in the morning. You're following you to your room. Maybe it's 17-year-old, but you don't know.
I'm not done talking to you.
Right.
Thanks, Lewis, for hooking her up, by the way.
But just, was she hot or? Yeah.
She wasn't.
Yeah. Cindy?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I'm kind of confused because, I'm getting my life together. I had a couple of years where I was doing stuff that I wasn't very proud of and all that sort of thing, but I'm trying to do better now. And so I went to my doctor and I got HIV tests and chlamydia and gonorrhea and a bunch of other stuff. And I know that I had chlamydia, and I took the penicillin, I think the pills.
The Zithromax.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did that, and so, and then I also, my doctor found that I had genital warts, too.
Which would be completely, if you were sexually active, it'd be bizarre if you didn't have that.
Yeah.
I have warts. Thank you.
The PVH.
HPV.
HPV, yeah.
She's also dyslexic.
Yeah.
But go ahead. So you got everything.
So the question is?
So the question is I don't... I just actually, I just broke off a relationship, but I'm going to have to say something, and I just feel it's so stupid, because I'm the girl that you would, like, least suspect that
from. All right, here's the deal. First of all, the reality is that 50% of sexually active adults in your age group have HPV.
No, they don't.
They do.
And I heard, like,
You say that every time.
And I heard, like, 1 out of 4 have chlamydia now in my
Well, group. That may be a little bit of an overstatement, but the fact is, this is an let's just state that it's exceedingly common.
Okay.
So it's not as though you are sort
the warts?
Of,
is that what we're talking about?
Warts, yes. Especially, and chlamydia,
but
also
the
common.
Chlamydia she can knock down, right?
Completely
yeah, that's
curable.
Just, like, one pill that I...
All right, so why even factoring
well,
that in?
Well, she, and this is the other
because
thing.
I could have exposed them to it.
No, well, but Cindy, somebody exposed you to it too, after all, be fair. And this is what I want to get into, is that you have such intense shame about your behavior into relation to whatever it was you were going through at that time in your life. You were where you were. You've gotten through that. You're understanding it. You're sort of containing your behaviors. You're finding sort of more meaning from other kinds of relationships. Why beat the crap out of yourself? You have something that most people your age have, all people that are very sexually active have, and people need to wear condoms if they're going to be with you, if they're going to prevent infection. And indeed, if you're going to be sexually active with someone, they should be wearing a condom. That's basically
exactly.
What this boils down to.
And you'll probably find a guy's got warts, too. And
I think that the fact that you are sort of coming more to terms with who you are and who you want to be, part of that is living with integrity, and I think it's I commend you for wanting to be honest, because I think you'll feel a lot better about yourself, and it'll be part of this whole process you're going through is being fastidiously honest. You need to be honest.
So what exactly?
So you need to tell people you've been exposed to work.
Well, only people you're going to screw. I mean, don't get a bullhorn and go to a mall.
Now look, go around the room here. If you're going to be with someone you're really into, and she mentions this, is it going to be a deal breaker?
I think it's very cool that she took the responsibility to find out, and that she's at least addressing
the
issue.
Really,
to deal with this.
Right, she is getting herself together, quite literally.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
But listen, Cindy, you know what you're doing. You see, you're taking all this guilt and you're putting it onto your warts. I mean, what I'm saying is mm-hmm. This guy doesn't have to know you got the warts from the 150th guy you're with. You could have just as easily got it from the first guy. And you think that because you have this, he's going to know about your past. But it's not true.
It also took someone who passed this on to you who didn't tell you
right.
before. So
right.
it's kind of like, you know,
right.
opportunity to stop that legacy there.
I think, right. Yeah, and... Yeah, I totally understand exactly.
But reassure her. Let's say you're into this girl. You dated her 5 times. Now it's getting close. You're going to get physical. And she goes, I got to be honest with you about something.
How would you like a girl to...
That's right.
If the girl I'm dating now had told me 5 times into the date that she had some sort of...
Yeah. No, not... And you've been having sex 5 times. You're like getting... You're getting
to know her.
Slowly
right.
building.
There's no way that would have...
It stopped anything.
Me.
That's
yeah,
right.
But what would you how would you have her say? Would you rather just her be like, you need to go get checked, or
no? It's blurted out.
Yeah, just blurt it out over dinner. Besides, I'm all about BJ's and anal anyway, so I don't even go there. I don't even know what that part is.
Yeah.
What part do you get the warts in?
The female vagina.
Is that the front part?
actually, no. It's you can have it. You can basically get it anywhere. But
do you have it in the anal area?
Mine is on, no, it's in the wall between the rectal and
yeah, but the... Yeah, but not on the rectal side, though.
No, yeah, not at all, but it can move over there.
Yeah, we could go
does,
then.
It's all a more right. serious issue over there because it becomes associated with anal cancer.
Okay,
inside, so.
But like I said, just like everyone said, be straight with the next guy. This is part of what you're doing and the part of the journey you're making in your life. And they don't have to know about all the shame that potentially
Listen,
brought you these warts.
This guy's doing handsprings because you're going to have sex with him, that's all.
Yeah, that's what I hear when I hear this. Yeah, this means yes.
Yeah, this means we're going there. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Shed the shame.
Hey, Ariel?
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that. Shed the shame. You're 17. What's up?
I just wanted to ask Robert if he's still planning on being in Hamlet under the direction of Mel Gibson.
Does a stage performance?
That's so highbrow.
Yeah.
What show are we on now?
It's Masterpiece Theater.
We might do that at some point, yeah. We were going to do it last, around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And things took a turn for the worse for me for a minute there. But maybe next spring or summer.
Okay, in Los Angeles?
Yeah, we do it in L.A.
That'd be cool. Because I think you're such a great actor.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'll take this moment to kiss Robert's ass for a second.
Oh, yeah.
You've obviously had your ups and downs in life, and nobody's, well, at least no one I know, has turned on you.
Like, they like you so much, and they like your work so much. And, Drew, do you know what I'm saying? We've got a lot of people in here that have had trouble mm-hmm. with addiction. They've had some bad times, and people sort of turn on him. Like, especially if you do it a couple times, like, screw him, he deserves it, get rid of him, I hope he rots in jail.
Yeah.
But with Robert Downey Jr., it's been like, people are like pulling for you, and part of it is your talent, I think, that people really respond to. But I think the other part is your humanity that's maybe comes through in your work, or I don't know what it is. But people seem to really like you and really be pulling for you, and I don't know what that means to you. I mean, does that help you? Is that pressure for you?
Well, I think it's better than having people turn on you, for sure. I wouldn't know, because it's always that part, too, where like, but we really are pulling for you, and it's really
good.
It
is a strange feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
I bet it gets...
People are definitely in your corner.
I bet it works against you a little bit, though, because then what follows in the heels of that is, we got a job for you right now. We'd like you to bam, you're back at work before we have a chance to get focused on your...
Well, I'm real fortunate that I've been able to, for the first time since I was 17, aside from the summer I spent in Corcoran State Penitentiary, it's the first summer I've had off and through to the end of the year, and it's been really amazing because there's a lot of stuff that I just hadn't really ever got off the habit trail to look at. So all the support and like you're saying, the goodwill... ultimately has sometimes carried me along when nothing else seemed like it would have. Mm. And being able to do something like this benefit honestly with friends and people who are like family to me, it's almost like I feel like maybe people are recognizing that ultimately when I put this behind me a little bit at a time, that this would be the kind of stuff I'd want to do, just because, as we all know, when you're out of yourself, you're actually benefiting more than when you're being self-indulgent.
Robert told me, by the way, that he would listen to the show when he was in Corcoran.
Who?
Yeah.
Where is that? Where?
Corcoran?
Yeah, it's right out here.
Right by Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. They got radios.
Yeah. In Bakersfield?
Yeah, they
even
listen.
Fresno, too. Closer to Fresno.
Listen to the Love Line over there.
Yeah.
Why I'm always this is our core audience, by the way.
I want to say hi to all the brothers who are doing time. I also want to say hi to my friend Catnip, aka Michael V, who's down in San Diego County Jail right now.
And
stay up, bro.
And what were you in for, like 9 months, did you say?
I was in for a year and a half.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say good. I don't want to say bad.
Great.
I mean, was it a good? Did you feel like it saved your life in any way? Do you know? I mean, I know guys. I have friends who went in, and it saved their lives.
Oh,
because they were at a point where they
were. But you know that I got out and then continued after several other little bits of. So for me,
I can understand that personally.
Yes,
I can relate.
You did that.
Things come along where you would say to yourself, there's no way this person could possibly go back to using after that. Maybe your best friend dies in your arms from an overdose, and you think, well, that'll sort of solve his problem. It doesn't.
You could say that if you've never known this disease. You know what I'm saying? People that really know this disease.
Yeah. I can understand going out after serving a year and a half.
I've seen worse things.
Yeah. Sure. As they say, out the gate by 8, in the spoon by noon.
Mm.
Back again by 10.
Mm. Wow.
Is that in the penitentiary, that's the saying?
Yes.
It's not actually printed up and put, you know, framed and put up on the wall.
They chant it every morning after the Pledge of Allegiance.
I see. But it's a mantra. It's not prison policy, is it? That's just...
policy?
Well,
come
it's
on
a colloquialism that's picked up in the joint.
But as you know, as a specialist, too, and I think that there's starting to be a bit of a movement in that, is that, you know, everyone operates at a different wavelength, and you never quite know, but it seems like the people have just been constantly saying, well, you know, we're not going to judge this, we're going to keep doing this and trying different stuff. And I think that that's kind of where things are headed, is applying as many different possible remedies as you can.
Were there resources
for a given individual?
Sure.
Were there resources for you when you were in? I mean, did they have programs?
There was a TC therapeutic community going on there. But I think more than anything else was, you know, some of it could be counterproductive. I wouldn't say that prison is somewhere that saves your life, whether there's a program there or not. It's inherently dangerous and degrading and heartbreaking. But looking back on it,
it lets me know that all those times, whether it was times that I was in, I was, you know, not, I wasn't under the influence of anything for that entire period of time. But you look back on things, you can, you know, the human spirit is so strong that you can, I think it's just important to survive whatever it is that you've been putting yourself through until it runs its course, and then do everything you can to keep it.
All right. So another way of saying that is when you're done, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I also find my experience is, you know, never give up on somebody else, because as long as somebody's breathing, there is hope for that person. Doesn't matter how impossible their situation seems to be, if there's a degree of willingness at all, and it, there's hope.
Anthony and I were talking off the air about some cases that I was involved with that Anthony knows, and we've seen some miracles. And I wouldn't even, our willingness was not even a concept that some of these people mm-hmm. could even have, but they were breathing. Well, barely, albeit, but they were breathing, and they were miracles.
Yeah, I've seen the worst cases I've ever seen, and they've come back to be clean and yeah. incredibly creative and productive people.
Yep. Well, I haven't seen this kind of tragedy myself, but my TiVo crapped out like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Not for one night,
wait a
but
minute,
for,
I'm
for
crying.
3 days.
Oh.
And there were times when I almost slipped.
Oh.
You know,
yeah, I never lost faith in you.
That's the point.
Keep coming
I
back,
had
brother.
People behind me. I felt their strength and their goodwill, and I stayed with it. And God willing, it's going to stay together.
Did I mention
for a while. One taped program at a time, though. That's the thing.
How yes. much my mom loves you, Robert?
Oh.
Oh, man, she loves you so much.
Really?
Yeah. You talk about that humanity, that sort of inner something that, you know, every human, every man, every woman can relate to, the kind of compassion that people get.
Did they see in Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah, or in lots of people. Robert, you know, because we're talking about him right now, but my mom is very sensitive like that.
Mm.
But and one more just quick ass lick before we go to overdue
Mommy.
Break. But I don't hang Mom. Around with real sophisticated people, and they don't seem to know the difference between one guy's acting and another guy's acting, especially when it's on Ally McBeal.
They don't know one guy's
know
acting.
The people they like.
About.
Yeah, they actually think the skipper's trapped on the island. I mean, my buddies.
What are you trying to say? He's not.
I don't know. I don't want to burst any bubbles here. But with Robert, it's like people that don't care about acting, don't seem to know about acting, are like, that guy is so good.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, it's one thing to have the critics recognize it, but the people aren't necessarily interested in it or too educated about it to really,
no pressure, man.
For you to really speak to them is an incredible gift.
Well, now I want to get drunk.
Yeah. We'll take a break. Let's go to the park, see if we can score, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Kiedis are here tonight. They are here to promote a very worthy cause for the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic. And that's going to be a benefit that's going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday coming up in the next few days. Big, big bands, big, big celebrities, and a real good cause. And you can get tickets through Ticketmaster. And you can go onto their website and just track them down. All right?
Something's going on here.
That's right.
Yes. Must be.
All right. Let's talk to Aaron, who's 27.
Hi, Adam. Dr.
Hey.
Drew.
Hey,
Aaron.
I called because I wanted to ask Anthony a question.
Here he is.
I've had this question I've wanted to ask you since 94. And I knew that if I met you, I'd ask you this.
Mm.
I entered this contest with the Rocket Freakopotamus Peoplehood, your fan club
yep.
that your dad runs. And he had this cover contest where we had to design a cover for the next magazine that was coming out.
I remember the contest.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So your dad gave me this prize and said that I won, and you actually picked my design. And I just wanted to know if that was true, if you actually picked it. Or if you remember it.
I remember looking at tons of artwork that people sent in, and I remember commenting on all of it. My memory does get hazy.
Oh, it's okay.
But what did it look like?
Well, I kind of took, it was a motif a little bit off of Blood Sugar Sex Magic, as opposed to Blood Sugar Sex Water, like the guy you called earlier.
That was Charlie.
Yeah,
the guy who said, I'm going downhill.
Chuckles.
Anyway, except for because... You know, I kind of thought that was a really sexual. I saw something very sexual about the cover of that
right.
album.
Hey, what did you draw though?
Oh well, in the center instead of a rose,
I put my pubic area where I had
shaved the logo. All came right back.
Shaved the logo?
She had shaved the Red Hot Chili Peppers asterisk into her pubic hair, and it looked hot, and you won. Didn't you ever see the magazine with you in it?
Oh yeah. Except for, you know what, he edited me out.
No.
I didn't get the cover just because, you know, there's a lot of 10-year-olds in your club and stuff like that.
So you were in there somewhere. I remember.
Yeah, I know, but they covered the good part. And I can't believe how many creepy mails I got from people.
Why are you asking if you won, if you know?
No, she wants to know if Anthony actually picked it.
I want to know if he really picked it.
Oh, he did the picking.
I saw it, and I gave it a full approval.
Two thumbs up.
It was a great design.
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you that
I see a lot of mohawks out there, a lot of clean shaven. You don't see a lot of asterisks.
Well, that's true. And I had to grow it out for a month to be able to get that kind of, like, breadth on.
Right.
You know, get some real... Uh-huh. Definition.
How much work's involved with growing your pubic hair, though? I mean, can you still hold down a job, or is that something you can do at the workplace?
I don't know. I just felt a little bit like woodsy or something.
I see.
By not being as clean as I
am. Right. And did you have a man at the time?
Yeah, he helped me because. This was back when
he was okay with the sort of Dan Haggerty beard down there.
There's no Dan Haggerty.
Well,
I mean, she had to grow it out.
It was more of a George Michaels thing.
Oh, okay.
The Fuller beard. Yeah.
All right, Aaron.
Here we go.
Any kids.
No, I don't.
Good.
Did you play in a band called Anthem in high school?
No, but I introduced a band called Anthem in high school.
Ah.
All right, Aaron.
Adam's getting triggered.
Good
finger happiness here.
There's a lot of just funky folks calling tonight. Alexandra?
Hi. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great. So
it's really great to be talking with you guys. I'm also a big fan of Robert Downey Jr.
Ow.
I think you're really talented, and I was just wondering what you look for, I guess, in a project.
Uh-huh.
Like, is in the script and the director. Like, what kind of aspects of a good movie do you look for before taking, undertaking a project?
Oh, I see. Half the time, if by the time I'm done reading it, I've thrown it across the room and say, how dare they send me this crap, I'll probably wind up doing it.
Really?
And the other half the time, I'm lucky enough to just follow my intuition.
Yeah.
And go with what feels like I'm supposed to do.
How much does stuff change? I mean, like, let's say you read the script, and the script's sort of so-so, but you know there's a great director
mm-hmm.
who maybe you've worked with or whose work you appreciate that's attached to it. Do you go, this guy's going to make this work? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think it is an exact science, but I'm not the type to want to spend half the day being one of those, like, really, like, conscientious work it actor
right.
types. Usually, you look at what a director just did,
mm-hmm.
and if it pales by comparison to what he's been doing before, then it means that he'd probably like you to be involved in his downward spiral.
Right.
Meanwhile, I only say that because my first reaction to having to work for a living is always this is really sucks,
right?
But I've always worked for a living, whether I was selling shoes or working at clubs or as a busboy. So I've just always had somewhat of an aversion to work until I start,
and then you enjoy the process.
Usually, yeah.
And what about? I would imagine that other people that are signed on would be could entice you as well.
Yes.
I mean, the other cast members,
mm-hmm.
working with people.
But largely, it's an intuitive thing.
Okay. I like the intuition.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. It's to pay attention to your intuition.
I agree.
Yeah.
People, we're not taught that in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge deal. But it kind of sounds like you, Adam, that aversion to working, except you still have aversion when you're working.
Right.
You have aversion to starting, and then once you're in it, it's bad, too.
Yeah.
It's all bad.
It's the child energy. It's just like school.
Yeah.
You know you're going to go and you want to graduate and you're going to feel better, and that's where all your friends are, and it's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
It's just like, oh, Mom, make mine scrambled. Mom, I'm sick.
Well, my motto is decide what you want to do in life and then take a nap. That's my approach. There's nothing that couldn't be done tomorrow or possibly the next day. Kate?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, this may sound stupid, but I think I have sex wrong, and I was wondering, because you're four people, you could tell me what I should do instead. I've had sex with three different guys, and none of them all came.
None of them had an orgasm.
You're fat.
True. Please, we don't know that.
I didn't say
that.
You never know.
Well,
why couldn't you come if she was fat?
No, Drew's very cruel that way. I think women are all God's creatures, and I will hump the bejesus out of any of them,
okay,
no matter what
you.
Shape they're in.
I hear.
Hey, Kate?
Yeah.
Three guys, no semen.
Right.
Did something cut things short, or were these extraordinary circumstances?
Do you live near a train station?
Were you in Afghanistan?
No. I'm in Arizona. It was one of those things like you're at a party, you're kind of drunk,
off.
Like, hey, let's hook up, and hooked up, and they didn't come.
Or were they drunk?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
That'll do
it. Mysterious.
But all three?
We
no,
if the alcohol,
no, actually, I'm only 132.
Alcohol can work against guys. Actually, really, any drug of abuse can work against sexual functioning. Some people find that they're sort of de-repressed. They're less anxious, so they feel like they're performing better. But the reality is it all works against normal performance.
Mm-hmm. But, hey, Kate?
Yeah.
What's up? You're 20, you haven't had a boyfriend?
I've had two.
And did you have sex with them?
I had sex with one of them.
And he didn't come?
No.
In the span of this relationship, I mean, you had sex with him multiple times?
Probably, I don't know, we were only going out for about 3 months, so we probably had sex maybe four times, like, during the end of the relationship before I kind of dropped him.
But he wasn't some guy you hooked up with at a kegger.
No, but he was pretty wasted that night, too.
He was wasted the four times he had sex with you?
Well, he's in a frat, so yeah.
Is it a tantric frat?
No.
Yeah, is it Sting's friend?
Sorry.
Next campus screw all night or something.
Have sex with someone who's sober. See what happens there. Just crazy idea.
Hey, Kate,
yes.
you just need to hook up and get in a steady relationship and find a guy you're in love with and, you know, have that moment.
Okay, so it's not me. Like, I don't need to change anything.
Well,
somebody who's involved with you will tell you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what would you think if it was you? Do you have anything we need to know about?
That's what I don't know. I have no clue at all.
You're doing your thing. All right.
Yeah.
You're fine.
All right.
It's just the guys.
Okay.
It's always the guys.
I think it's the beer. I think it's the booze.
It's the booze. I agree.
So I'll hook up with a regular guy, but still she had a boyfriend and this
not
guy
a boyfriend,
was drunk
though.
All
she'd
the
only,
time?
Yeah, she'd only hook up with him at fraternity parties. What kind of boyfriend is
four
that?
Four times in 3 months.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Sounds like they were married.
Not a boyfriend.
Do it outside.
Right.
That helps too.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good times there, Kay.
Right.
All right.
Time for the Peter Fonda drop.
Hey, that was in Palos Verdes, that last one, huh?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little bit of a break here. We got Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Kiedis all here to promote a very wonderful cause, Drew.
Indeed, it is the Silver Lining Silver Lake benefit for the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic. Again, Ticketmaster is where you can get the tickets. Look up Silver Lining. The website, probably tomorrow when the traffic will slow down enough that you can actually get onto the site. It's www.silverliningsilverlake.com.
And it's all going to a real good cause. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You know what I'm saying out there?
Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back on the Loveline.
Yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Drew. I just told Drew to go get Anthony and Robert. They are now in the studio, and we're here tonight promoting a very, very worthy cause. It's the Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic, and a big benefit going on 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Drew and I will be there on Friday doing a little MC work, and Robert's going to be there quite a bit. All 3 days?
All
was
three
it?
Days.
Did you guys know each other before this project?
Loosely. Yeah.
Loosely.
Yeah.
I wore Robert like a loose-fitting garment for years before this.
Back to that.
Yeah. Mm. And in that particular period of time where he had, like, the bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I saw that today on MTV. They're doing a retrospective on you. Yeah.
I'm smiling. This is for you in Radioland.
Lisa?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yep.
What's up?
I'm starting to get kind of concerned. I have completely just, I don't know, the thought of sex bores me. I feel like I've kind of lost my sex drive.
Anhedonia.
I just don't feel like that's normal.
It's not normal to be so without a sex drive, is what you mean.
I mean, most all my friends are guys, and I don't, you know, it's not like I don't have the opportunity. It just doesn't interest me.
Is it at the point where if you even look at people touching or kissing, it looks kind of like, what the hell, what's going on here?
No, not so much that. I notice there is kind of a little twinge of like, God, I wish I still
kind of felt that. But
it's an empty. It's a zero for you.
Yeah.
But you're not in a relationship, right?
No.
Well, if you hooked up the guy you're really into, wouldn't you be into it?
Oh, I kind of had the opportunity to rehook up with somebody that I had dated for a while, and it just didn't.
Are you depressed?
No.
Are you on medication?
No.
No birth control pills or anything like that?
Nope.
Nothing over the counter?
No, I took myself off the pill like 2 months ago.
Yeah, why bother? And what are you doing right now? You working?
Yeah.
And is everything going okay?
Everything's going great at work.
And do you have any kids or are you divorced?
Nope.
The case of the missing libido.
I know. I do have to say one little thing, though. Robert Downey Jr., you have been just an acting icon to me for years. I really am just very impressed with all of your work.
You want to screw?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I want to say?
Yeah.
6 months ago, I was in the exact same place.
No sex drive.
Yeah, and when you're in that space, it doesn't seem like it's ever going to shift. However, there's no external stimuli that's really going to prod it into a change. I did notice, though, when I really focused on myself, I know it sounds so cliche and mundane, and really put some time in of just getting in touch with really what I was feeling and really what came up and working with it in whatever way seemed to be intuitively appropriate. When it changed big time.
Hmm. Hey, Lisa?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think your biggest mistake, and I'm kind of agreeing with Robert or making his point again, which is I don't question it so much. There's sort of an ebb and a flow, especially with women sexually, where there's hot times and there's cold times, and you're in a downtime, and if you're not on medication and you're not depressed and you're focusing on your work and you're not in a relationship, then maybe just go with it. Maybe this is God telling you to put down your vibrator and pick up
the Bible.
The Bible. And stuff that up your coos. No, God would
say
that.
One of the little handheld versions.
Yeah, vibrating.
But let me ask a couple more questions. Are you menstruating?
Not the hardcover,
are you
please.
Menstruating normally? Ouch.
Yeah.
And everything else normal medically? You haven't lost weight? There's nothing else going on that way?
Nope. Everything else has been just peachy.
And again, thinking it through, no over-the-counter medicines, vitamins, anything funny like that?
No, I'm not into medication of any kind.
All right, then I'm with Adam.
You're going to be all right. Like Robert said, it's going to shift. When you least expect it, it seems like it'll never pass. It's going to shift.
Yeah, and you'll fall in love and get that libido fired up again. Brittany?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew and all you guys.
All right.
Okay, I've been with my boyfriend for a little over a year now. I moved in with him about 7-8 months ago, and I noticed that he was looking at porn, okay? Now, I don't have a problem with porn. I enjoy watching it with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turned into he'd start signing up for all these personal sites, like Adult Friend Finder and Alt.com.
Whatever.
Right. Well, anyways, and he's not chatting with these girls or anything, but why is he doing this? Why is he looking at it? I mean, and it's like the minute I leave the room or I go to work, he's looking at it. Why?
How long have you been with him?
About a year and 2 months.
And when did he start getting momentum with this?
About 6-7 months ago. He said he's always done it.
Yeah, that's what I think. No. I think he's always done it. He just put it down for a while to impress you, and he's getting back to his normal routine now that it's more comfort in the relationship.
Right, and guys do this. I've noticed myself do this, that when a woman moves in, you feel like you're being infringed upon somehow, and you have to clear your own space, even if it's within the same cave, and that's the computer or that's your porn. It's like a way of sort of escaping from the relationship and still being in the relationship. Don't young guys do this?
I'm sure they do, but please don't use yourself as an example of what's normal male behavior. Please don't. It may be what you do, and yes,
well,
guys do that.
If you could wrestle your balls away from your wife for 10 minutes, you'd enjoy some porn, too. She'd just tell you where she was hiding them.
That's,
or she possibly sold them at a yard sale. Yeah. Hey, Brittany?
Yes?
How old is this guy?
He's 29.
He's never lived with a woman? Has he been married? Or?
Yeah, he's been married before.
Hmm. Do you think he's feeling like a little antsy about living with a woman?
I don't know. I've talked to him. He wants to be with me. He wants, you know, to spend the rest of his life with me and all this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, he does this.
But doesn't feel to everyone like he's sort of retreating into his own space when he does this?
Yeah, well, porn can be very obsessive and very addictive. And personally, it always leaves me feeling incredibly empty and a little bit distant from those that I'm actually close to.
That's exactly what it does.
But right.
Again, but it can be a phase thing. And you know, hopefully...
It is, though. It's the crack cocaine of the sex addict, man. It is just the rocket fuel.
So you think he's obsessed?
Well, I'm suspicious. I mean, if it's having consequences and he can't control it, it's something to look at. And there's something I think important to understand about this is that it's normal to have a certain amount of momentum with these highly arousing kinds of stimuli. I mean, guys kind of get going with it, and any male will get some momentum going in. And if that kind of arousal becomes compulsive or way of managing feelings, you can really get going with it. And it's really about, first and foremost, getting a little abstinent. Of staying away from it for a little while and seeing what happens, seeing if the relationship can reestablish itself.
All right. Hey, Brittany?
Yeah?
So should she discuss this with him?
Yeah, I would.
I said discuss.
Oh, I discussed it with him time and time again. He said he won't give it up.
Wow. I admire his conviction. And you got to talk to him after he beats off, because then he'll be like, are you kind? Never again.
Get him
never.
When he's demoralized.
Brittany, there's a website, the ncsac.org. Write that down, ncsac.org, which is the National Council, NCSAC, National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity. And they have articles there about cyber sex and sexual addictions. You might sort of toss it a little bit that his way and see if he feels like maybe that's him.
Okay. Robin? We'll try this real fast. You want to know if it's a good idea to get together with a girl who lives with your ex-boyfriend?
No, her ex-boyfriend.
Her ex-boyfriend.
But, that was actually, it is a real question, but that's not really what I wanted to talk about. My first question,
No, listen, you got time for half a question, so go.
Half a question?
Yes.
All right. Okay, how do I get through the depression after, I just got out of rehab. And
what's your drug of choice?
Heroin.
And how long sober are you?
I'm not.
Okay. Well, listen.
I was sober for a week.
Hang on. Listen. The one thing about heroin withdrawal is that it leaves you with a profound sense of emptiness, like a loss, like someone you loved has died.
Yeah.
And there is no medication. There's nothing that gets you over that. You have to stay in the program, stay connected with other people. Stay with a high degree of structure so you can tolerate it, because it does get better with time, but it takes many weeks.
And you got to get clean just to begin that.
I also wanted to say to Robert that you've been such an inspiration.
Thank you so much.
You give me like hope that I might be able to do it.
Well, I'm telling you that when I was in the space where you say you're at right now, it's so funny that you're wondering where things are going on, but you haven't quite put it down. I assure you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you cannot even begin to experience how awesome your life will be. It's just a matter of time. Let it run its course and don't look back. You can do it, honey. I swear to
really?
God.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.
All right,
luck,
take
Robin.
Care of yourself.
Thanks. Get back into a place where you're living in a structured environment. It's what you need right now.
All right. We'll be right back.
Okay, so I
Well, that is it. Where did the time go? I want to thank Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Kiedis for coming in here and being just great, great guests, open books, and sharing lots of insights and stories, and really a treat to have you guys on.
Thank you, Adam.
For a very worthy cause, Hollywood Sunset Free Clinic, and again, you can check out Ticketmaster to get tickets for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, or www.silverliningsilverlake.com. We'll be there Friday night.
We'll
see you guys there.
It's going to be fun.
And you got to pretend like you know us, though, so we seem cool.
Are you guys working on some sort of shtick for the show?
We're doing a Martin and Lewis thing.
Yeah. We've never worked on anything in our entire relationship.
No, we're not about to start. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
As they say, out the gate by 8, in the spoon by noon, back again by 10.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.